Motion, Mr. Dever, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm a yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign in. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. The first hearing on today's agenda is conditional use number 2014 J Beach. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. This application is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a landscaping and site work business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5.2594 acres, more or less, for land lying west of Beaver Dam Road, Road 285, also known as Route 23, 700 feet south of Hopkins Road, being Road 286. 911 address was not available. Tax map ID is District 234, Map 5, Parcel 44.06. Excuse me. Have to bear with me for my voice. The Council has before it a report referencing the findings of the Planning and Zoning Commission. It makes reference to that we had received comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, that Jay Beach was present on behalf of his application. There were four parties present in opposition to the application and also gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission deferred action for further consideration and for the staff to check any restrictive covenants for a copy of the conditions of approval imposed on the Chukurik application for conditional use on the adjacent parcel. On April 23rd, the commission discussed the application under old business and did make a motion to recommend approval of conditional use 2014 for J Beach for a landscaping and site work business with six reasons, or findings, and also <coughs> 16 conditions of approval. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried with 4-1, with Mr. Smith opposing, to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion did carry 4-1.
Any questions from Council?
Work has already begun on that, has it not?
The work that's done will be addressed by the applicant in this public hearing. There was a concern about materials being stored on the property.
That's why we have the application, or what?
No, the application was filed by the applicant. He has done, brought in some materials onto the site, which he can explain.
There's erosion vents in here.
Yeah. Subject, it's like he hadn't constructed any buildings on the property.
It wasn't a result of a violation or anything?
No.
No, but there's no permit.
Are there any other questions from council? If not, Mr. Beach, you want to come forward, give us your full name and address, and then present your application.
Good afternoon. My name is Jay Beach. I'm from Lewis, Delaware, and I'm here with my son, Chase, to request a conditional use for 5 1/4 acres that I purchased on Beaver Dam Road for a site work business. Like any parent, I'd like to help my son achieve his goal. He's only 20 years old. He works very hard. He's already built a nice business, and he wants to stay in this area, and I want to help him in any way to do that. Finding a good site in eastern Sussex County is very difficult. Finding a few acres is tough. I think I found a perfect location. It's on a very busy road. Property borders a farm market, a garden center to the south. There's a equipment stored across the street. There's another site work company within eyesight. And although there's a residence to the north.
You say equipment stored across the street?
Yes, Ms. Deaver, to the south.
Uh-huh.
Across the street.
Okay.
There's a horse farm on 5 acres, and right before that there's another site that stores equipment. And I submitted a picture of that.
Uh-huh. Okay. I thought I heard you talking about there was a business there.
There's a business to the south, the garden center. That borders my property.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as far as the dirt, which I'll address later, I did no work out there before I submitted my application, and then we're just stockpiling some dirt, which I'll address later. The business will have little impact on my neighbors, I believe. There's no employees at this time. It's just strictly my son. He only has a few pieces of equipment. The work is done off-site. Sometimes the equipment moves from job to job. It's not even brought to this site. And I was kind of curious, at this stage, would we even need a conditional use? I mean, we're not a very big business at this time. I've owned a horse farm and also a farm market and a garden center on Route 24. The places were always kept neat and orderly. I built quality buildings there, and I will do the same here. We plan to make this a site work company, and we want to make it a show place to promote that business. After talking to Jessica Watson, I understand that I must stay under an acre of disturbed soil to qualify for a standard sediment stormwater plan. I want to stay under an acre because it's very expensive to do a full-blown stormwater management plan. So the 5 1/4 acres, only 1 acre will ever be disturbed.
You're talking about the land next to the farm market. But are you also talking about the land on the opposite side of the road?
I mentioned that as an example of
the 5 acres. You're talking about 5 acres in that one plot next to the market?
Yes, that's the 5 acres. That's the 5 acres I purchased.
Okay.
So I have talked to Jessica Watson, and when I first brought soil there, I disturbed less than 5,000 square feet and needed no permits whatsoever. I told her what my plans are. She said, well, let's get some permits. So as far as the dirt, which has become an issue, we're going to need approximately 200 loads of dirt. If anyone's done a pole building, a parking area, a driveway, we want it all above grade. So our driveway, parking area is going to be 6 inches above grade. The building, we want to put a foot above grade. That's going to take like 200 loads of dirt to do that. That's $20,000 worth of dirt. Now, because my son's in the business and there's a lot of construction going on in eastern Sussex County, we're able to get dirt very cheaply, if not free. But we have to respond to the contractors when they need to move it. We can't just do it at our leisure, or we're going to pay for it. So that's why we brought dirt now. because it's free. And it's stockpiled, and I have permission from Jessica Watson to do that. Now, I understand it's disruptive to my neighbors, and I'm sorry for that, but it is a construction site, and once the construction is over, they'll never see truck traffic like that again, strictly for building. Now, I as I said in the planning and zoning hearing, I work nights. I work last night, so it's morning to me, actually. And I'm going to live on the site. I sleep during the day. Work 4 days on, 4 days off. I sleep during the day. I have to sleep. I can't miss sleep. So it's going to be a quiet site. It's not going to be a noisy site. Now, Beaver Dam is not a back road. It's not a small back road. It's a busy road. But after listening to my neighbors and understanding what they have in mind, that they think this is going to be a big business, it's not. At this time, it's a very small business. So I did a little research. I read your comprehensive plan, and it was interesting. It was an eye opener. And Sussex County government understands there's going to be development in this area. I mean, no one in Eastern Sussex County would dispute that there's a lot of development in this area. And the Sussex County government encourages growth and strongly respects private property rights. So I understand that. We want growth, but we want to respect each other's private property rights. And that's my property that I've purchased and my neighbor's properties. And I think we can accomplish that. I think we can keep my neighbors happy and give my son an opportunity to grow a business. So at this time, I submitted a map to council lately. It's a map with Sussex County over the, like that. And one of the concerns of my neighbors is they say this is not a site for a business like this.
I don't think we have that map.
I saw it earlier, but I don't know where it
is. Emailed and placed on your desk. Got it. But here is also extra copies.
Okay.
This is the one.
Yes, ma'am.
Got a few extra copies I'm sending them.
Their email? I didn't see no email.
I saw it.
What was on the desk did not include anything in the circle on it.
Was emailed also.
It was emailed. I did see, she's right. I did see it. So.
She is right when you emailed it.
Not on the,
she's wrong. They were on the desk.
No.
She's halfway right.
We'll share it. We'll just share it.
That's good.
Okay. We got the bullseye.
Did you say a half loaf burned on those?
I continue?
Stand something.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm looking at the land on Lewis Georgetown Highway. Maybe I've got the wrong one. You've got 1.48 and 1.39 acres. Is that correct? 300 feet of footage with the two lots. Am I missing a lot or something? You said 5 acres. I don't know.
Yes, there's a site plan that shows it.
Okay. What?
On that, I'm just saying what road. Let me just see if that's the right one.
May not be.
No, you're on the Georgetown Highway. He's on Beaver Dam Road.
Okay.
Should I continue?
No, that was for a prior application. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead and proceed.
Okay. I did this map because I wanted to research. The one of the concerns was this is not a place for a landscaping site work company. So within a 5 mile area from my site, I found a dozen landscaping, or six site work companies, and six site work and six landscaping companies, all within 5 miles, all within on a smaller road, smaller back road than Beaver Dam Road, some very small roads. So I do think it's appropriate for this area, and it's been done in the past, and it's not anything different. I also submitted the as an example, for Fluharty, Clint Fluharty, and the excavating company that was just approved on Camp Arrowhead Road for dirt works. This is conditional use 2371, approved on October 28th of 2014. This company's much larger, has 15 employees, has considerably more equipment. It's on 5 1/4 acres on a much smaller road, Camp Arrowhead Road. And it has very few restrictions, just shield neighbors. Also, I submitted the county council hearing from my neighbor's property, conditional use 2388 for the garden center located next to my property. I wrote a letter in support of this business, and I still support their business. I don't understand the reason for not supporting mine, but that's their business. And I hope it's not the case, but they could have a sloppy operation. Everyone says this is going to be a sloppy operation. It's not. It's going to be neat. I have history to prove that I do run a neat operation, because I've done it for 25 years. And from what I understand, their conditional use as a garden center, since I ran a garden center, couldn't they sell bulk mulch and bulk stone and soil at the garden center? I have a restriction saying I cannot stockpile any dirt. My neighbor to the south, I believe, has permission to do that with his business. Borders my 5 acres. It's happening across the street with the site work company across the street, but for some reason I can't do any at all. I don't know if that's true, but that's the way I read the conditional use that he has.
Are you referencing the conditions that were recommended by planning and zoning, which is?
I was referencing the garden center, 2388 conditional use.
Okay. I don't have that before me.
I submitted it, just the copy of it, that it's approval. And I just, I believe they have permission to do mulch and stone. Now, whether they're going to do bulk mulch or stone, I don't know, but.
Well, Mr. President, may I think, are you referencing, I would say, perhaps letter, what is it, number E?
E.
Whereas it states, there should not be any dirt, tree stumps, stones, mulch, or other materials stored on the property. Is that what you're referencing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's for me, and I'm
correct.
That's
correct. Yeah. Well, you were using yourself as a comparison, whereas you're not allowed to, whereas the other guys have been allowed to.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
So I just want to reconfirm.
If this does pass, I would like to address some of the restrictions that were put on me by planning.
I think that would be important that you do that. If you are seeing some of the conditions, you may want to address as to why or why they would not apply to you, because
yes,
the council can accept the recommendations, they can amend the recommendations. Yes.
If before we proceed, what did I assume that you asked the Planning and Zoning Commission why they would put that stipulation on your application versus others have not?
Well, I understand your format that I can't rebut who talks in opposition to mine. So once they pass the restrictions, it was a closed hearing. Okay. I had no way of rebutting what those restrictions. This is my own first change.
The commission had a public hearing. They closed the record on April 9th, and then on April 23rd, they made a decision based on the record of the April 9th public hearing, and they approved the application with 6 conditions, and A through P as conditions of approval.
Right. So this is really the first time I can address.
Yes, and this is appropriate.
Do we know if what he's saying is correct, that these other people have the same ability?
The other application was done separately. It was already in existence as a basic as an agriculture activity, and they expanded by selling products, flowers, et cetera.
Is that why they had to have a CU?
Had to have a condition.
Otherwise,
because they expanded.
You can have landscape business.
Expand it.
AR1, right?
Well, your landscape business depends on what you're doing.
Right.
Mr. Beach had to apply because there is no improvements on the property. He's creating a site for conditional use for a landscaping site work business. He doesn't live there. If he lived there and was just him living there himself and operating that business, he could do some of the activity, not all of it.
That was a question I had. I mean,
but he doesn't.
I could have done all this without the hearing. I could have built what I wanted, and at this stage, I wouldn't need a conditional use.
What are things he would need a conditional use if he lived there? What are things he still would have to do with the conditional use?
He would have, he could, if he lived there, he would, and he's the only resident living there, then he has to operate a business on his own. He can't have any employees.
Which is what we're doing.
Does your son live there?
Well, we are going to move there, and he will be living there with me, yes.
Well, see, that, there's some of the things he could do, but not all the activities. Because
right.
He ended up with all his equipment. How many pieces of equipment can his son drive in the process of his public hearing?
It would have been, eventually, he would have been here anyway.
He would have
That's
been
right.
here anyway.
And I'm,
he would have been here anyway. So you're here now.
I did it ahead of time, but I guess it's biting me
right.
for doing it.
You basically did it the way you should have done. You should have applied up front.
I did, and I talked to someone. They said to do it that way, but hindsight, it would have been better.
But I guess the question is, Lars, the people next door that have this, where they've got there, do they have piles of anything?
No, they're not.
Have little.
He's just saying they
no,
could.
They can. There any materials or equipment stored on premise has to be screened from neighboring properties once they get their final site plan approval.
Okay, but they could, in fact, put it on the property as long as they screen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they have a conditional use for it with condition of approval.
Right. Okay.
So I guess to go into the restrictions, starting with A, one of the neighbors didn't like the idea that I was putting my house in the back of the property. I put the house in the back of the property, as I stated, because I sleep during the day. Beaver Dam's a very busy road. It's a busy road now. It's going to be even busier 5 years from now. So that's why I want my house in the back of the property. I did a revised site plan from what I submitted to planning and zoning.
Right, which we have. Mm-hmm.
Is this different than planning and zoning?
Well, planning and zoning, I believe, is in there also.
Mm-hmm. But what I passed down.
That's right.
Did you
I passed it down.
Yes, the one in red is the revised. The other one was what was submitted to planning and zoning. I think one of the biggest complaints of planning and zoning is my resident was put directly behind the shop. So I've moved it out to the middle, in the back. And I also, the restriction, the way it's written in A, says that I cannot put anything behind, any equipment behind or in front of the residence. So that kind of forces my hand to put the residence as close to the road as possible. Because the further I put the house back, the more property I don't have available for my use.
With that comment, Mr. President, again, may I?
Sure.
I have been personally to the site. I think it was Saturday afternoon, if I recall. I did go out there and visit with the neighbor, mm-hmm. and also looked at the surrounding properties, and I know that this is a photo, I guess, that you had provided. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Up across the street.
Which is across the street, which I recall.
Yes, sir.
And this is showing heavy equipment that appears to be in front of a building, in front of a home.
Yes.
So my question would be, this is in here, and we can talk about it, but why is there a discrepancy across the street you can't and across the street you can?
I don't know why that restriction was put on mine.
I don't know. I'm just...
Good question.
And the other picture I submitted, which if you were there with a neighbor, they had an objection to my house being into the back, but his is in the back. His is in the back of the property, and everything is in front. So basically, I'm going to duplicate exactly what is there to the south, right beside my property, the farm, the garden center.
I was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the impression your equipment would be out front. And I think, I don't know exactly whether they want that or don't want it, but I don't hear that now. So where would the equipment go?
Well, the shop is off to the north.
Mm-hmm.
It would be over by the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I was thinking, and we thought about this in the very beginning, of doing an earth berm. A lot of neighborhoods put earth berms in, grass-covered earth berm with shrubbery on it,
you
landscape.
You can assure that won't run off to the next-door neighbor.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can assure that. So that's what I like to put across the front along Beaver Dam Road, a 3 to 4 foot earth berm with beach grass and shrubbery on it and landscape it. along the north and the southern borders of the property, I would put Leyland cypress trees in to shield the neighbors. I think I have an obligation to shield it, for sure.
Could those be conditions?
Sure. Sure, I have those on the site plan, the revised site plan.
You're shielding it from the folks behind your lots, right?
Well, behind us, we have a 30-foot buffer to that neighborhood behind us.
But you have homes back there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So you're talking about shielding our next-door neighbors?
The north and the south.
Okay.
The neighbor to the north is a residence. He's already put one row of cypress trees in. I'm going to put a big building and another row of cypress trees in, and then the big building. So he's going to have a building and a row of cypress trees. The neighbor to the south already has a business. Technically, we're both running businesses, but I will put a row of cypress trees in. He has an obligation under his conditional use to shield me, so I would think he would put a row in, but that's...
But again, I haven't gotten the answer to the question. The question
Sorry.
Is why, and Mr. Link, may you perhaps have the history. Natick, the question is that the business across the street that has this heavy equipment, I would presume they are permitted to have this in front of their building, whereas this applicant is stating that he is not allowed to do it. Either that or this business across the street is not in compliance.
It may not be. I'm not aware of that business. I had to go back and search of that parcel.
Mr. Arlett, this is something that you, the council, could change this number A. As we go through the process, some of the, as we do from time to time, we can modify the conditions that are placed on here. These are just the recommendations at this point from planning and zoning.
So what I would like, restriction A, I would like to be able to put my residence in the back. Very similar to the garden center. It's next door. I'd move the house over to the center so you could see it rather than tuck it behind the shop.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead with the rest of the
sure.
your comments?
I'd like this. Yeah. He said he wants to live there. What if he wants to rent it out to somebody in the future? Is there something in here that says that would...
Yes, condition B. Actually, I wanted to address that next.
Good transition.
Condition B says that this conditional use would expire if the applicant wasn't there, didn't reside on the property. I understand the restriction that an owner should live there, because he's going to keep it nicer than, I mean, the fact that I have to live there is important.
Sure.
I understand that restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Which, couldn't it say the owner, the current owner? What if I sell it to my son? The conditional use goes away. So the current owner should reside on the property, is what I'd like condition B.
Gotcha.
And then condition C, stockade fence. Now, Dirt Works and the, that I submitted as a example of a conditional use, and the garden center, they are required to shield their neighbors. But for some reason, I have stockade fencing. They want stockade fencing all around my property. I think that's going to make it look like a construction site. That's why I revised my plan to show a buffer of trees and an earth mound. I think the stockade fence will look poor. I don't think it will look nice.
They do live on their property, is that right?
Yes, they do.
They have a family living there.
Yes, and I don't need a locked stockade fence because I'm going to live there, so I don't need it for security. And I might put some fencing
mm-hmm.
for shielding the neighbors, but the whole thing, I don't understand why I'd have to shield and lock a locked gate with the fencing. And condition D, a 200-foot setback is what condition D states. That makes half of my property useless. I mean, I have a 15-foot artisan's right-of-way plus a normal 40-foot setback, but they imposed a 200-foot setback because I showed on my site plan that my building was going to be 200-foot back from the road. I think that's where that came from, but I'd like to be able to add on to the front of the shop, put an office there someday. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Is it the 200 feet is what? Is it the home itself? I mean, I know right now this per the applicant, we're talking about the house has got to be up front.
Mm-hmm.
And is this 200 feet reflective of the home? And then the equipment is to be behind that home? Is that what I'm reading?
It's stating that all the equipment storage and service buildings be at least 200 feet from the road, not the home.
Which means the home would be further
from.
Closer to the road.
Closer to the road.
Right.
The way that reads, I have to put the house as close to the road as possible. Mm-hmm. Nothing can be in front of it. But on my site plan, I showed that the shop would be 200 feet from the road. So they put a restriction saying that I can't be any further than 200 feet from the road. Well, that makes half of the property useless.
But it was
no, it doesn't say within. It says at least 200 feet from the road. Mm-hmm. So you could have it further back.
Yeah, but I can't have it further forward.
Oh, true.
It was based on your site plan you submitted to the commission for a public hearing. You were 200 feet back, and that was your proposal, and everything else was to the rear or to the side.
Yes, but I didn't realize that would be...
All based on your presentation and proffer to the commission.
Sure, but I didn't realize that would be a setback. It carved in stone that I couldn't add to the front of this building later. Yeah.
That's what the commission saw, and that's what the public saw during the public hearing process. That's why it was made a condition. They tried to take your site plan and try to show what you proposed, and they're rendering their decision.
The dilemma is this is a conditional use, and it's a residential area, and we're giving you a permit to do this, and there's nothing on the thing. Normally, we have a conditional use, and there's some structures already there a lot of times.
Sure.
So we work around, and that's like maybe across the street where the equipment's in front of the house is because the house already existed, the residence. You have nothing, and so they're starting from scratch. They're starting from your site plan,
mm-hmm.
And so they use that as the guide. So that's why they're trying to still maintain, I guess, a residential character, because it is still going to be residentially zoned land even when you get the conditional use permit. It's not a change of zone.
No, sir.
So
I understand
that. It's a juggling act on our part to try to maintain the AR characteristics and yet let you run your business. And many times, like I said, it's usually buying a piece of property with structures, and then they try to work around those structures. With this particular application, we're starting fresh. So that's, I think, planning and zoning's direction on this.
Okay.
I believe the folks across the street, I don't know if they live in that house or rent it out to others, but and I understand there is some sort of business, but that it's behind some sort of, you know, what do they do that's a business across the street?
It's a site work company.
Okay. But you don't, doesn't look like a business. I mean, very, you don't really see
it. It's an older residence and they have trees.
Right.
That does help. And I don't.
Right.
So I need to shield mine.
Right. I understand.
I do.
Okay. You can't really tell that they have.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do have an obligation to
okay.
put a buffer in.
All right.
That is mine.
Is that a permitted use across the street east they're talking about?
I don't know.
I haven't been able to. I'm trying to verify. I didn't know it. It's the first time I've heard of that complaint.
Okay.
With our new technology, we could probably zip it right up, couldn't we?
Well, if trying to keep the character of the neighbors, Mr. Cole, my revised site plan is exactly to the neighbor to the south.
Right.
House in the back, in the center of the property.
No, I understand. I'm just saying some of these comments, I think, are based on the fact that it's raw land and they're trying to
And the fact that it was in your original application,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
That was part of your application.
I didn't know that would be a setback requirement. Because it's not a formal site plan at this point, right?
Well, at the time that you presented it, you were telling the planning, zoning, and the council, this is what
proposed.
I'm seeking permission to do.
Sure.
I
want
to
do this.
And so they saw that. And that's why the conditions were drafted the way they were, to comply with what, to take into consideration what you asked for.
There you go.
Okay.
They were accommodating you.
Yeah. And right now you're asking for us to perhaps reconsider that.
Yes, because I'd like to, in the future, I'd like to add a office to the front of that building.
Okay. And you've already discussed number E, that you would like to be able to have some stones or mulch.
I think a limited stockpile, and no tree stumps. And my son already has a site for a big stockpile of dirt. And I can't have a lot of noise there, as I've said before. But this is what he does for a living. He moves dirt. So he has another site to do a large stockpile.
Mm-hmm.
But to have permission to have none there ever is difficult.
Yeah.
And again, that's regulated by stormwater management.
What?
The height of it.
Are there other conditions that you had an issue with?
No. A, B, C, D, and E were the conditions that would like to address.
Okay.
The rest are pretty much boilerplate.
Did you have any other information that you would like to
share
with the council?
No, I submitted this plan also, just an aerial. It shows, it's a good picture of where the houses are next door. Okay. And I'm trying to duplicate basically exactly what's next door with my revised site plan.
Okay. Do you have anyone else with you today that will be testifying?
No, I do not.
Okay.
My son is here if you have any questions for him. But other than that,
If he would like to testify, he could.
Well, I think I addressed it all. Mm-hmm. Do you have any?
Were there any other questions from council before we open this up?
The Conservation District, you say, you're working with them.
Yes,
ma'am. Did they approve what's been done there now? Is that what it is?
Yes. I believe I submitted the
mm-hmm.
Conservation District General application for approval with Jessica Watson.
Yes.
Oops, I'm sorry. Yes, I've discussed with her where we put the initial dirt, putting in the...
They didn't ask you to stop doing that, did they?
They did not.
Okay.
Now, you can disturb up to an acre of soil with a standard plan, and that's what she gave me, a standard plan.
Okay.
And you're testifying that the dirt there is used to raise the property?
Pads, yes, sir. They're not. Elevation. It's not for resale. It's not for stockpiling. Strictly for construction of that site.
Okay.
I do have a question, Mr.
Sure.
Mr. President. This is nothing new. I think that you are well aware that some of the neighbors have concerns regarding the source of the dirt.
Yes.
So I do want to address that.
I think it's
very relevant and an important question for it to be addressed. And that, where is the source of this dirt coming from?
Lewis Library is where the topsoil came from. And from what I understand, there was a brownfield site. Didn't know that. But the Lewis Library is run by a large contractor out of Wilmington.
Well, let's halt right there. Because you know you've got dirt from the library,
yes.
Lewis Library,
mm-hmm.
and it's I guess it is deemed to be brownfield dirt.
A small portion, which was handled by the feds and well.
And if you guys, is it you and your son that hauled it?
They did.
From that facility.
They did.
Who's they?
The contractor in charge.
So
they would be responsible to remove it if it was a problem.
But then you've received it from them, not knowing that it was potentially...
Exactly.
So that's my concern.
Sure.
Is why don't we know this? I mean, what is the process if there is, you know, deemed bad soil being removed from a site? How come we, as the general public, don't know what's happening with that soil? I'm looking at you, but you don't have necessarily the answer. I'm seeking the council here some direction. Is why don't we know that this is bad dirt and where it's going? I mean,
I would like to address it. Of course, the council can.
Unless it's authorized.
The contractor is one of the largest contractors in the state handling that site. And they had the feds involved. Everything was taken care of. They didn't file some proper paperwork. That's what it boiled down to.
They meaning the contractor?
They mean the contractor that's handling the job site for the Lewis Library, which is a million-dollar large project. They didn't file proper paperwork. They've hauled a lot of dirt off of that site. A very small portion came to mine. Because the neighbors complained, which is their right, they shut the Lewis Library job site down, shut mine down. They said, we're going to analyze that soil, which they did on my property, analyze other soil. And they found out it was just a paperwork mistake on behalf of the contractor.
Is it or is it not? Does it have arsenic or not?
No. There was a very small portion of that library site
mm-hmm.
because it's an old farm. Old farms used chemicals that,
right.
you know. So, no, that was addressed early on,
mm-hmm.
and it was the paperwork wasn't filed correctly. So basically, I trust the huge contractors not trying to get away with anything. That's basically I had no reason to believe it.
Well, the contractor didn't bring it. Was it another party in between the contractor and your
The contractor typically hires dump trucks.
Uh-huh.
But they're in charge of the project.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just outsource the hauling of it.
But I have to
was
tell
that
you...
With, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, my concern still is, you know, when you've got a brownfield and is being this dirt is being hauled away, and here it is ending up on your property, whereas you're going to build a house on it. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is the concern. So why is it that we don't understand where is this brownfield dirt going to and who's responsible for the follow-up process of it?
I would expect it would be the federal government since they're the ones in charge of the project.
It was the feds for that, and the rest of it is stormwater management.
Well, I guess maybe that explains why we have the screw-up, perhaps. Just that was just a side note joke, sorry.
I know, Soil Conservation took care of this too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Well, it's out of our lot. It's out of my hands, bro. Out of this council's hands, so speaking.
It was handled by the proper agencies.
We can't control the soil and stuff comes through here.
That's their job.
It would be appropriate, though, if the council was so inclined, you could have a condition to this application as part of the approval that there would be sufficient paperwork given to satisfy that there was no tainted dirt on the property to have that checked.
I think that absolutely should be part of this application at minimum.
Somebody wrote that down, Lawrence.
You've got people living next door too. Yeah.
That no brownfield dirt shall be brought onto site.
Well, we're done hauling from the Lewis Library.
But I'm just saying in general.
It was cleared by just, you know, by stormwater management.
Right.
And okay. DENREC.
Are there
but I could get a letter from DENREC stating that it was...
Are there any other questions from council
well,
before we open this up?
I could be wrong, but I believe I read that the person who actually hauled the dirt out of there and brought it to your place was not authorized to do that. Is that correct? That's a right
field? It was a paperwork.
Or some kind of...
No, it was a paperwork issue. They had permission to haul their dirt off. And the brownfield site was taken care of long before they hauled dirt off. So the dirt that was hauled off had nothing to do with the brownfield site. That's a big project, Lewis Library.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they had permission to haul dirt off. They did. And it was cleared by DENREC in Dover, Jessica Watson down here in Sussex County.
Could you...
Knowing the Sussex County conservation as well as I do, that would have never happened unless they approved it. If time to go through all this paperwork,
we went through it again.
I had no doubt in my mind that this dirt is legitimate.
It is.
They knew about it.
I don't have no question about that. And furthermore, I don't know how we're getting off the left here of making our responsibility of what kind of dirt comes on here at the federal government, soil conservation, everybody else says this is okay. I don't know how we're getting into this. That's what.
It's beyond me, actually.
Sam, we were made knowledgeable of it.
Right.
It's on the record, and we have to address it.
But it's also,
that's all.
It's also, we turned it over to soil conservation.
We understand all that.
And natural resources. And now we're going to take in part of their job.
No, we're not taking it. We just have
not
to
at all.
Like it to me.
No. I think what it is, it is addressing the public's concern.
An issue.
Period.
Yes.
I mean, that's what our job is to do.
Exactly.
Sure it is.
Exactly.
That's why natural resources got it.
I will get you paperwork.
But if I may address one other quick point, and that would be, could you illustrate a picture for us and for the public as it relates to the buffering, I have the paperwork here, but I mean
the revised site plan is okay. What you're addressing, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously that was another concern is the buffering.
Sure.
As you know, is to the left and to the right, to the rear, and I know the front you're going to have the berms.
Well, I realize it's important that I have buffers, without a doubt.
Right.
So the original site plan, I didn't show a tree-lined buffer to the south or a tree-lined buffer to the north or the earth berm along Beaver Dam Road. Revised site plan shows that.
Right. Could you talk about that, and just in general? I mean, foot trees, 10-foot trees. What are we talking?
I know typically they ask for 5 to 6 foot Leland cypress for a buffer. I'm going to irrigate the trees because there's going to be a lot of money involved because these are 600 foot property lines to the south, nearly 500 to the north.
I don't quite understand when you said 6 foot trees. I don't quite understand.
Well. The size, the initial when I initial purchase trees, I can't put in a tree that's a foot tall.
Right.
They got to be 6 foot when you start. that what you're?
5 to 6 foot. That's a typical size that they sell them.
Now, you're not going to put these trees on the line, correct?
No. Along the line, but not on the line.
I mean, here's what I'm saying. These Leland trees will
They get wide.
At least 20 feet wide.
Well, I'm thinking
actually. If you put them within 5 feet of the other man's property, actually, you're taking his property. You're running 10, 15 feet over his property.
We found that out.
I see that happen all the time. In fact, the guy planted Leland trees within 4 or 5 feet of my property.
Is that a condition?
And now they're halfway to that screen on me.
Actually, I've looked into the green giants, a different mm-hmm. variety of those trees, and okay. they're a little thinner and tall. So I would like Leland.
It's not even a condition, is it? That it be Leland cypress?
He's offering it.
No, I'm asking that.
Right.
Okay. But I would like Leland cypress type mm-hmm. of tree, not that tree.
Yeah, ours is about 300 feet.
It's just the idea I wouldn't put on someone's property.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do get wide and bushy, and I don't, you know, just that type of tree is what I put along the north and south.
It's a real good shield, though, because of...
It is.
Yeah, okay.
But I think the green giant's a better variety.
I'm sure you're right.
Well, if there are no other questions from council at this point, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? I saw the gentleman's hand all the way in the back go up first. And then you, sir. If you'll give us your name and address, please.
Sure. My name is Tom Kacharik, and I own the property south of Mr. Beach's. I live there, excuse me. I live there with my wife and three children. We have two dogs and we have some chickens for livestock. After many years of researching, we purchased this land because we knew that starting the farm and the greenhouse business would both be permitted uses, and they are. I know Mr. Beach wants to drag what I'm doing into it, but I'm an agricultural business, and I could have put 5 acres of greenhouses on there. I don't even have to live there under the way I understand the code as it was written. But we choose to live there. This is our home. This is our family farm. I'm a conservative man, and I believe in you should be able to use your property how you see it as long as it is within zoning, and it is not going to be a harm to your neighbors. You've got to be a good neighbor and a steward of the land. And if we didn't have those rules, it would just be nuts. It would be chaos. I was raised to give man a benefit of the doubt and treat others as you'd like to be treated. And I've been self-employed for 20 years, and that's how I practice my business. I talked to Mr. Beach before he closed on the property, and he told me that he had his son, and they were going to have a little business there, and his landscaping and site work, and I thought this would be great. I used American Hardscapes as an example, something I wouldn't want to see, you know, where you've got lots of trucks, you've got employees all over the place, piles of dirt, you know, just an eyesore. But they're in the right place. They're on the right land for that type of use. And he said, no, it's me and my son who ride dirt bikes. And I thought, great. You know, he works. He has a day job. Not a problem. And then these dump trucks started showing up. Heavy duty, you know, 12-wheelers, big ones, not little 6-wheel dump trucks that, you know, his son has. Private haulers, I said, well, what's going on here? And they're dumping right back in the corner of my property. I walk out my back door, there's a pile of dirt here. So I looked into it, and I said, you know, where is this coming from? It's coming from the Lewis Library. Well, I knew it was a brownfield. I said, what's going on here? Okay. My wife was upset. Obviously, that, you know, I told her one thing, what I was told by Mr. Beach, and Mr. Beach is doing something else. I text messaged him. He said, no, we're not done. This is temporary. I don't plan to stockpile. I have a text message from him. I have a copy of it. If you want to take a look at it, feel free. Then I called Denerec. I said, this is a brownfield site. What's going on with these soils? There were trucks lined up Beaver Dam Road. We're not talking about, a stray truck coming in here and there. They got stuck in the field. Thank God it was raining, because there would have been a mountain of this stuff next to my house, a mountain of it. He probably would have taken all the dirt from that brownfield site. So Denerec looked into it. The site contractor, and I have emails from Denerec and all that, the site work contractor released the soils to Mr. Beach, according to Amanda Herr at Brightfields, because he wanted to build up his land. At that time, Denerec halted any further soils moving that from that site and being dumped on Mr. Beach's property, which is now known as the Beach property. Initial screening showed elevated levels of arsenic and mercury in the soil. This triggered a risk assessment, and initially, Denerec wanted to remove the soils. But then they did their risk assessment, and they determined, well, this is going to be okay. These should be pose no harm to anyone as long as they stay there and they're penned in. And then recently, Mr. Beach applied for a permit to stockpile. I was informed by Jessica Watson that this would allow Mr. Beach to create a pile of dirt 1 acre in size, 20 feet in the air. Just saying. But he doesn't plan to stockpile. I have that in writing from him. It's windy out there. There's no trees, nothing. And the 30-foot buffer for Heron Bay is a joke. I mean, it's not a 30-foot buffer. There's old trees there that are they're dying. So we get 20, 30-mile-an-hour winds out there. It's going to be a dust storm. It's going to be a nuisance. There's no doubt in my mind. So then just this weekend, I thought, well, you know, I'll go talk to my neighbors because they come down on the weekends. They're not full-time residents. They own the property, but they're not there all the time. So I asked them what they thought of it. I showed them the plans. I had my phone. I could show them what was applied for and what he proposes. And they said, well, you know, if you have we could sign something because we're not going to be here. We have to go to work. So I have letters of no support for this project from the homeowners. I could submit to record.
It's to Mr. Lang, please.
Sure. What are Mr. Beach's plans for the property? I don't know. And if he told me, I probably wouldn't believe him. Commissioner Johnson and the commission, they recommended approval of a landscape business with 16 conditions. I looked into CM Beach Excavation, and in my opinion, it's not a landscape business at all. It is a heavy equipment, dirt, noise business. It's I'm going to be Melvin Joseph and AP Kroll. That's where they're heading with this, and I hope they get there. But I bought that 5 acres. I wouldn't want to live next to that. They have nice buildings. They're great people. But I didn't buy my farm and start my greenhouse business to live next to an industrial site. I think Mr. Johnson's 16 conditions that was passed, I think that just shows that they have a concern. They could see that this in the future could be a problem, not just now. I mean, he could sell the land. His son could become very successful, and I could wake up one day, and like I said, it could be 30 or 40 trucks over there. So in conclusion, I don't think Mr. Beach has any intentions of being a good neighbor or following the rules. He knows he wants to build up his land, his words, and he knows that that could harm us. That could cause flooding. He has the high land right now. If you look at a topographical map of the area, all the water is going to flow into my yard. It's going to flow into Joe's yard, the neighbor to the north. I'm concerned about the dust in my greenhouses. There's nowhere on that plan where he says, here's where I'm going to build my acre 20 feet high. I don't see it. I don't think he should be allowed to do it. It's going to harm my farm. I'm going to have to increase cost of production related to the dust and the dirt, the stockpiling of soils. Customers are going to come out to get some produce. Dust, dirt blowing, dump trucks slamming in the background. None of us want that. We just don't want it. We have rights too as landowners and certain expectations. As far as I'm concerned, this isn't a case of we all moved next to a dairy farm and then said, oh, what's that smell? You know, I mean, we were there and established ourselves as a neighborhood. So I hope that you'll deny Mr. Beach's application because I really think this is a matter of the camel getting his nose in the tent and, you know, all bets are going to be off. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you like copies of, here's Chase Beach, here's all these pictures off. It shows you the type of operation he has. And
sure.
Also the,
hand them in.
The text messages.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
Mr. President, I do have a quick question, if I may.
Charlotte.
Before you walk away. Could you reconfirm, because I'm hearing two different things here. I know you're stated that the dirt that was hauled to the site was indeed from the brownfield facility at the Lewis Library and was also deemed to be tainted. I don't want to say soiled because it is soil. But tainted.
Yeah, it had elevated levels of arsenic. The levels were, and I have all this, I could email all the soils survey results. I had an independent environmental engineer look at the results, and he's the one who kind of clued me in on this. Mercury, I think, was 5 times the initial screening levels. Management, initially they wanted to come in and get the soil. I have that in writing somewhere, one of my piles. Todd at Kaiser, the hydrologist, they wanted to come in and get the soil out of there, but management, they decided that the risk assessment was enough, and as long as there was no more soil added to the site and it was penned in, I guess whatever they do. I guess the risk is that their kids don't have to live next to it. That's good enough. So it was. I mean, it wasn't normal. It caused a risk assessment. It took it to the next level.
And then, Lawrence, Mr. Link, excuse me, the applicant had just stated that the soil that was brought there was no issue. It was just a paperwork issue. Is that what I heard?
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there are two conflicting things there.
Right.
And also, I have an email here from Amanda Herr. That the soil was not suitable to build on. So if it's not good enough, it's not good enough to build on at the Lewis Library site. Why is it good enough to build on here? I don't know what he was going to do with it.
No, I did too.
So I could submit this. And also that he wants to build up his property. He wants to build it up.
So how do we address that?
What agency? We can get comments from an agency. What agency? DNREC?
It would probably DNREC, because any evidence that's been given to us by this witness is basically hearsay what
right.
someone else had told him.
Right.
We could ask for Soil Conservation DNREC and any of the reports from the feds on this, on that site.
Did you have a report also from your person who looked at
just in an email. I forwarded him. I can forward to you all the everything that I have if that would suit you. I mean, that's all the soil work that I know.
Are your emails on your private
server?
Cell phone here. Yeah.
We'll make sure they're not like
not
some others.
Mr. Lank, if he would like to forward it, he would forward it to you. Is that correct? Any emails for the record?
Fine.
But at this point, or normally we close the record after we conduct this hearing. So if you need to present it,
we can
leave it open for certain things.
I can email it to you while I'm sitting in the room back here. I can send it to you.
That would be a good idea because if we leave it open, it should be specifically for certain things, and it'd be best from the agencies themselves.
Just
right now.
Tell me the email address.
I'm writing it down for you.
Okay.
Okay, I believe there was another gentleman who raised his hand.
Broadcast it all.
Right over here, please.
On wells out there.
Just written down so you don't broadcast it.
Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Morris, and I live at 19818 Beaver Dam Road. I'm the property to the north of Mr. Beach. I'd like to give you a little brief history. From Stokely Road to Hopkins Road, that property has been in my family since 1848, when my grandfather could no longer farm that. He passed that to his two daughters and his son, my mother being one of those. When my uncle passed, the part that belonged to my uncle was divided between my mother and my aunt. All of that property, from Stokely Road to Hopkins Road, my mother put in the R.L.W. Morris Family Limited Partnership, along with a couple of other parcels. that property has been in an agricultural and residential environment since 1848. My relatives have taken care of that land and have been good stewards of that land from that time. It was an important part to my grandfather. When plumbing was put inside my grandfather's home, they had to actually take the man to Niagara Falls because he was so concerned about what was going to happen to the water coming out of his toilet and his washing machine and what was it going to do to the land. I learned from my grandfather stewardship of land. Mr. Beach gives me a lot of room for pause. My brother was given deed to the land that Mr. Beach purchased from him. My brother got his deed when I got mine. That was in October of 2011. There was an agreement that my six siblings and I had, but particularly between my brother and I, because his land was contiguous to mine, that if he sold his land, that he would afford me the first right of refusal to find out who's buying that land, the purpose of that land. And if it was something that I didn't want to be next door to, he would work with my wishes. And when Mr. Beach approached him, the thought was that Mr. Beach was going to move his horse farm on Route 23, Windswept Farms, onto that property. My brother called me and asked me how I felt about livestock. Well, I have no objections to livestock. And when I spoke to Mr. Beach about that, I was told that no, he was not doing that, that he was just simply going to build a residence. It was only going to be a home. And based on that, I had no objections. There was no mention of any commercial business going in on that property. If there had been any mention of any commercial business on that agricultural residential land, I would have told my brother, I'm not happy with that, and my brother would abide by that. I spoke to my brother this weekend, and he affirmed that. Mr. Beach went from that to this business that he's doing. He told my neighbor at the garden shack, the gentleman who just testified, a different story than what he told me. Things don't always come out the same for Mr. Beach. I spoke to Mr. Beach several times about what he wanted to do with his property, and one of the concerns that I had was that he wants to put his sewage and leach field right up next to my property line. I mean, right on the property line. That makes it so that if he has any problem with his sewage, it's my problem. You know, I don't believe that that is correct or appropriate. I don't believe that that location is appropriate for a commercial business of the type he wants. The garden shack is an agricultural commercial business. That land is zoned for agricultural and residential. Mr. Couric's business is within the scope of that. Mr. Beach's business, he tells you that is a landscaping business and a construction site prep. If you look on the website, there is no landscape there, none. There's nothing that I did when I got the deed to my property, on my property, that I did without getting a permit first. Mr. Beach shows a history of doing things first and then asking for a permit after the fact. It kind of goes to the little saw about it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. That's not how you're a good neighbor. I have a line of trees next to my property that runs off of my property line. When I got the deed to that, the first thing that I did was to put in 48 trees from Beaver Dam Road down that north-south property line between me and
Is that your home there? I would presume. Is that your home?
That is my property. Those are the crepe myrtles that run along the front of Beaver Dam Road. The trees I'm speaking to are running along the side. There are three cypresses, 24 hollies and 24 cypress down there. when I put those trees in, I worked with a with a Southern States company that provided trees, and we looked at what the adult mature diameter of the tree was, and that's how we determined where we would place those, because I'm well aware when I place something in there, I don't want to go into my neighbor's, into my neighbor's property. That would not be a good neighbor. When I laid out the configuration and layout of my home on my property, I laid it out so that no matter what I did, it was not going to impact my neighbors on any sides of me at all. Mr. Beach doesn't operate that way. I've spoken to him many times about moving his septic away from the property line. And he tells me that his sewage engineer tells him it's got to be there. Well, golly gee, maybe we live in different worlds, but when I did my home, my engineer didn't tell me where my septic was going to be. I told my engineer where my septic was going to be. And my septic was designed based upon where I was putting it, not the other way around. The conditions that were given to Mr. Beach, I've already addressed the issue of the landscape business. That was number two, why they were going to approve this, was because a landscaping business would be a benefit to Sussex County residents and property owners. I could agree with that, but Mr. Beach is not a landscape business. Mr. Beach's son is in a construction site and excavation business. There's no mention of any landscape. If you look on the website, you'll find that what they have there showing their past history of work has to do with grading, demolition, site removal of trees, and stump removal. Zero landscape. The 16 conditions that are placed upon him don't have an order of precedence. There's no order of precedence. If he's got to reside there in order to use this land, shouldn't he have to build his home first? His construction that he's doing right now is on his 40 by 80 foot shop that he wants to do. The soil that he tells you he's got there to build that up is not soil you're going to build up construction on. He brought in one truckload of compact soil, that orange to yellowish soil you'll see at a construction site that's compactable that then they put the slab on. One. Next, and in it, all around that, the first truckload was that soil. The other 32 truckloads are all topsoil. That's not what you use it for. So he tells us one thing. Common sense tells me something other. I'm very concerned about that. So before he can proceed with this, I'd like to see an order of precedence. You know, build your house first. Make sure you're a resident. Be actually living there. Then put your screening up. He speaks of the trees he's going to put up. How is putting a 6-foot tree going to block my line of sight from his construction area, his industrial area? It won't. In the spring of 2012, I put those 48 trees in, and they were 6-foot trees. If you go by my property today, you'll see those trees are probably all of 10 feet tall. And they're the same variety that Mr. Beach wants to put in. So how long would I have to wait before I would have screening provided by those trees to where it eliminates that? He says he's going to be living on that property and that he wants it quiet. The operation of those dump trucks, that was not quiet. I was there the whole day long. It sounded like cannon fire. I'm a combat disabled veteran. I served in Vietnam. I can tell you what cannons sound like, and it wasn't very different from those trucks going off. And it shot me out of bed first thing in the morning. I didn't really know what was going on. So he tells you that he needs it quiet so that he can sleep. He's My biggest problems there are that, you know, he's brought this dirt in that there is some concern about the contamination of that soil. Where he's got that soil backed up along that tree line, the wall's branch runs back there.
Okay, that's what runs back.
So, you know, when it rains, where's that runoff going to go to? And then when that rain goes through that soil and it leaches into the ground, it's going to go into our subsoil aquifer. I have a well. That means that now when I irrigate, that contamination is going all over my acreage. You know, as I said previously, I have a concern about the stewardship of land, that we do it to be good neighbors. I don't see Mr. Beach being a good neighbor. He told me today that he can move his sewage 50 feet. And 50 feet is really not going to protect me whatsoever. My property is, you know, taken care of to where anybody in back of me, to the side of me, are not going to be impacted by mine. Why should I be impacted by his? This business is for his son. I mean, he comes in, you know, we're on an agricultural residential. Mr. Couric's is agricultural residential. Mr. Beach's is not. For that reason, I don't believe that this is the appropriate site for it. When he talks about the gentleman across the street, we don't know for a fact that that's a permitted use that that person has. So I think it's inappropriate to use that for an example. This is in his pictures that he's showing. He mentions the piles of gravel that are there. Well, if you look at those pictures, you'll see those piles of gravel are no more than about 4 feet tall. It's a couple of small truckloads, like what I could put in my pickup truck. Compare that to what Mr. Beach has. It's not an apples to apples comparison. Mr. Beach's pile of dirt today goes up, I would estimate, 12 feet tall and growing. I buy things from the garden shack. When I buy my mulch, it's not stored on Mr. Couric's property. He trucks that to my property, and I use that mulch in my landscaping.
Where is it stored?
Pardon me?
Where is it stored? It's not on his property.
I believe that he gets it from his supplier.
Okay.
And then brings it to my mm-hmm. property.
Gotcha.
And typically I buy 5 yards, you know, 5 to 6 yards as a whack, and then I use it how I need it, mm-hmm. you know, around my property there. If you bear with me for a moment. Who enforces these conditions is a question I have. You can put these conditions.
That would be the Planning and Zoning Department.
You know, I have yet to see the Planning and Zoning Department drive around in a car pull over and somebody get out and issue somebody a citation. We don't know for a fact if that person across the street from Beaver Dam Road is permanent use. You all have the same question that I have. So I think Mr. Beach using that as leverage for approval of him to be able to locate and configure things on his property
right.
really isn't a very good example.
And you've, at this point, you're starting to repeat a little bit, hit some of the items. We have several other long hearings after you.
Right.
If, as I said in my initial statement, if you can try not to be repetitive, we'd appreciate it.
Right. Thank you very much.
I have a question, Mr. President. May I?
Certainly.
And actually, even for the other gentleman that was opposed this, and I don't know if he's able to come back, but you've seen these conditions, I would presume.
Oh, yes, I have them in front.
So of them, what concerns do you have with respect to these conditions?
My problem with the conditions is, as I stated, in order of precedence. You know, if he's got to reside there, get a permit and build your house first. You know, the construction that he's got, he's already started his excavation for his shop. I see no posted permit.
There's nothing to, you're saying there's nothing to force him to ever build there if he...
There isn't.
Right, so we may never see a residence here.
May not.
Your concern, okay.
You know, when he builds his shop first,
okay,
he's starting his business before he starts his residence.
Understood.
Okay. One other quick question for Mr. Lank, and that would be, and I think it's a fair question, and I would like to know what the answer is, but item number two, this is an application for the purposes of a landscape business. I'm hearing that the concern is that this will not be a landscaping business.
And I don't believe Mr. Beach anywhere spoke
sure.
to how they're doing a landscape.
So the question I have for Mr. Lank, and that would be, how do we define a landscaping business?
Well, it's not just a landscaping business. The applicant applied for a landscaping and site work business. The word site work just wasn't included in that condition number two. It could have been.
And therefore, should it be?
Should be.
I mean, because the way it's written, he can only use this as a landscaping business.
Now,
is that accurate or no?
The title of the regulation requesting the ordinance is landscaping and site work business. It wasn't, the site work wasn't struck. It just wasn't included in that number two. And it could be. Again, I say it could be added.
Well,
yeah, that was not a condition either. Items 1 through 5 are some of the reasons for approval, and then the conditions were beyond that.
I don't know what site work business means. I mean, it could mean so many different things. I need to know. Maybe I should have asked Mr. Beach, but I don't know what that means. Does it mean the equipment for clearing ground or repairing soil is going to be there?
A site work business? No, it's not on that site. The business would be functioned from that site, but all the site work would be done off-site on other projects.
So we're talking about equipment.
So they do clearing. They do grading. They bring in materials.
Okay.
They level ground. They do soil conservation type work.
Uh-huh. So it's working with
preparation
the soil
for construction of a commercial business, construction of a house. It's all interrelated.
So the likely
prep the
we're
land
about.
Before the construction takes place.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about equipment, heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm. If I may, before Mr. Beach mentions that today it's a small business. I don't know anybody who starts a business and expects it to stay static and be successful. You know, so down the road, does he plan to grow? If so, then we wind up with an industrial operation in a residential community.
Well, one of the things that would have to occur if it went beyond anything in the conditions, there would have to be a new hearing on modification of conditions.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, is there someone else that would like to speak in opposition on this matter? There's one right behind you first.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. My name is Matthew Cottrell. I live at 19747 Beaver Dam Road. Across the street where Hopkins Road crosses Beaver Dam Road into my driveway. And we've had a long conversation this afternoon. I've learned a lot. I have one thing to contribute to this conversation. That is, I was curious about the site across the street, across Beaver Dam Road from where the proposed use is. There's a lot of yellow heavy equipment there. So I went down the hall here to the Planning and Zoning Office, gave them the tax map ID, and to ask, do these guys have a conditional use to do anything other than have a residence there? And there's never been an application for any conditional use there. So mm-hmm. any conversation about using it's actually Kuhn Construction. You're familiar with them. They built the approaches to the Indian River Inlet Bridge. There's nobody living there. They don't have conditional use. So I think it really would set a very bad precedent to use that as an example.
Use a potential violation as evidence for approval or something else.
If that's right. If we're going to use that as the model.
It's not a good model.
For the current conditional use, I agree, Mr. Cole, it is not a good model.
I think we'd all agree. I'm glad you did the homework for you. Thank you.
And I would think, for the record, by the end of today, correct, our new technology, our new website, would allow us to pull it up during the session if we had the ability to do so at this moment. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You're a couple weeks early on this.
That's good. Yeah. That's actually real good.
Well, I believe what I saw was a whole line along the property line.
I'm not sure it will show that if it were to predate back, say it was like 1995 or something. That's not going to show on that map today, is it? What do you show today goes back 2010?
No, it would show all the right. zoning, so.
Yes, yeah. Since 2010, you're correct.
Yeah, all the way back to when they started?
Yes.
Yeah, I think all of them.
Did you have anything else, sir?
No, that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that, speaking in opposition, you said you had some questions?
Mike Miller. I live down the street on Jimtown Road. Here for another hearing today, but just because it's a landscape company and I own one, the gentleman asked one question, is it a business across the street? And I got that answer a while ago. It sounds to me like he wants to put a full-blown-out business on this site. And, you know, my concern, I sat through the first hearing with the planning and zoning, and I heard what they said they were going to do. But I've never heard from the son. I've never heard him speak. No time at all. He didn't speak at the planning and zoning. He didn't speak today. If it's his business, why wouldn't he speak to exactly what he's planning on doing?
Can I answer
what that? Happens?
Can I answer that? Because he felt his father could give a better presentation than his father spoke on his behalf. He doesn't have to speak.
He doesn't have to speak?
You say that?
And who owns
himself and his sons? What he said.
Who owns the land? Mr. Beach owns the land. So maybe he has a property owner. He did it. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
What happens if his son decides he doesn't want to do this a year later?
The conditional use typically runs with the land. What they put in here that it would expire, it would not run with the land. Isn't that correct? Isn't that one of the conditions?
That's correct. It's only
but then I heard him ask that.
He didn't like that. Right.
Said, can it go with whoever the owner is?
Right, right.
Which says that he possibly might sell this.
Somebody else could do
to someone else, and it could be really full blown. I mean, you know, if there's site work being done or needs to be done, someone's going to call, ask you to come out and do an estimate and see what site work needs to be done. You don't need to have a full blown out office sitting in front of your property and your home sitting behind it. That's not generally how it works. So I would just hope that you all would consider some of those things.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else speak in opposition? At the current time, the public hearing is closed. Mr. President had to leave a moment ago for purposes of, he has a dental appointment.
Emergency dental appointment.
Yes. And on this matter, it was my understanding, Mr. Cold and Mr. Arlett, that you would like the record to remain mm-hmm. open to get specific information concerning the soils
yes.
from DENREC and from Soil Conservation and any other appropriate agencies.
Well, he has said that he would protect the other properties on either side from flooding because evidently he is planning to build up the level. I mean, can that be made a condition?
That would be, we could address that in a condition.
Uh-huh.
But based on what it's my understanding, there's a desire to keep the public or the record open for those specific items. And mm-hmm. then after that, we have now been adding a 15-day period that the public could or the applicant could comment on those items after we receive them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be in writing only. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would take a motion to defer and
yes.
to keep the record open for the test for the soils from DENREC, Soil Conservation, and any other agencies. Mr. Cole.
I have a question, though. We heard a lot of concerns from Mr. Beach about the conditions, and he didn't like. And we've heard from the opposition, et cetera. But I would say a lot of times we would like to have a written document to work from instead of shooting from the hip and everything else. Is it possible for Mr. Lank to produce from the testimony we've heard here today a new modified list of conditions? And I guess we could put it in the affirmative. In other words, what Mr. Beach was wanting so we can look at that and see what exactly what Mr. Beach is proposing. So is that possible, Lawrence, that you could modify what planning and zoning did and add the concerns of Mr. Beach's, and then we would look at that, and then we could work from that from either changing or working with them, just because right now we had Mr. Beach saying he right. didn't like a couple of them, the opposition that did it, but if we had just had one document from the affirmative positive, is that?
It sounded like you wanted to strike the first five, that's what I thought.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, that's
maybe six.
Mm-hmm. And I think
whatever to get figure it out.
Well, that's what I say. Is that something? Because I again, well, I think we need a set of conditions that we're all looking at the same page, yeah. so that all five of us are working from something. Then, if we want to change things, we can right. work from that.
That does yes. That does not need to be in your motion as far as, okay. but we could prepare
can,
that.
Staff can do that.
Yes,
okay.
we yeah. can just do that. Oftentimes, we do mm-hmm. give you proposed we findings. We could do the same way.
We could have planning and zoning's recommendations, and then we could have the modified ones
yes.
Based on this hearing
right.
of the app, because mm-hmm. he changed, it seems, from P&Z to right. county council's hearing. So let's find out what we ended up with here today. And then, how's that sound to you, Mr. President?
Sounds good to me.
That's what would I like. Like, I like to
you,
hear that.
Would you like to give us a motion to defer?
I'll make a motion that we leave the record open for those issues that we would just discussed. And if Mr. Moore would like to elaborate and clarify that, he may.
The record is remaining open for the purpose of getting reports back concerning the soils from the appropriate agencies, which we had discussed, Soil Conservation, DENREC, and any other agencies. The proposed findings does not need to be part of the motion. And as soon as we have those reports back within then the record will be remain open for anyone to comment 15 days beyond that.
On those specific items?
On those specific items only.
Could I add one thing?
No, the public hearing is over at this point. You can present that, but that is...
well, is it specific to the soil issue?
It's nothing new to the soil.
We
got it.
We can drop it off to them. It's supposedly you made that part of the record earlier, so just give right. it to them, and you gave it to them right. That's fine.
So I will second Mr. Cole's.
I'll have a second.
I'll have a second.
Already seconded.
There you go.
It's fight over.
My district.
Is there
no?
Any discussion?
We're going to take care of that. We'll follow up.
No discussion. Chair?
Seconded.
Mr. Deaver, how do you vote?
Sorry. We're looking to defer.
Oh, you got the second.
Yeah, we're looking to defer.
And
I vote yes.
And to keep the record
open.
Mr. Cole?
I vote to defer and leave the record open.
Robert?
Yes.
I vote to defer it. So the motion is carried.
Okay,
we're into change of zone on 1764, filed on behalf of Coastal Club.